Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Step blocked by Jaylen Brown.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics
Show.
Over the
shoulder pass for Al Horford with a two-hand slam.
With Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Celtics will drop back to 500. They'll go to 0-2 against the Hawks. Atlanta coming to Boston twice at the end of the season. Peyton Pritchard will not shoot. And the clock will hit triple zeros. And the Celtics, who have put together a nice run of strong performances, the back-to-back blowout wins, face one of the hottest teams in the league. And the Hawks have the answer. Celtics came from 16 down, had two chances to take the lead in the fourth quarter, couldn't do it. They end up getting blown out here as the Hawks win their sixth straight. They win at 108-92.
Another night of underachieving by your Boston Celtics. It's the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you at 617-779-0985 if you'd like to join us. Sean Grandy there with the final call last night in Atlanta. And the Hawks, yeah, end up blowing out the Celtics 108-92. The NBA's third worst defense, holding the Celtics to 36% shooting last night. They came out strong. There was at least that. Silver linings, Chris. You know, they didn't have a slow start last night, but it was just so typical in that, you know, and I felt like there was maybe a little bit of wind in their sails after two straight wins against, you know, middling to lesser competition. But they go into this game last night, which, you know, this is a team that they're on par with. They're a team in the Atlanta Hawks.
And I know your Hawks, Jim.
That are as big of underachievers as the Celtics are this year. But to have that finish and the fourth quarter that they did, I'm at the point, you know, I'm going on this now for weeks where I don't feel, you know, anger towards them. I've just grown accustomed to this kind of disappointment in these kind of no-shows late when they need it from the Celtics and the disjointed play that you see from this team. But I know that there are people that still, you know, get real amped up about this and like, how does this keep happening? I don't know how you don't see why this keeps happening, but it was another disappointing loss for them last night in Atlanta.
Oh, no question about it. And I said, again, I said this yesterday. I was like, don't take the cheese on the Celtics after these wins over Sacramento and Washington, not in that order, obviously. But when you look at it, I mean, they were celebrating a two-game winning streak like they figured everything out. And our buddy B-Rob tweeted this morning. The 2020-2021 Celtics, after 50 games, 25-25. The 2021-2022 Celtics, after 50 games, 25-25. This is who they are. They're a 500 team. And I don't know why everybody keeps looking for this eureka moment where it all clicks and there's something that they're not, which is better than a 500 team. And I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm not a hater. Like, I want the Celtics to do well, but I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated that they refuse to admit that what they currently have is not headed in a championship direction. And it frustrates the crap out of me. So you know what? I'm glad they lost, because I'm hoping that it just reinforces once and for all to Brad Stevens in the front office that they have to do something, that they have to change directions, that you can't just keep going in the direction you're going. Look, Tatum and Brown are here to stay. You're not moving them, but pretty much anybody else is on the table for the right deal. You know, Robert Williams, it would take a really good deal. He's not untouchable, but he's pretty close. But other than Tatum and Brown, there's no one who's really like untouchable at this point. You can't just keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And I'm not surprised they lost the game, because the Hawks were playing well. The Hawks came in as winners of five straight. The two teams they had dismantled in Sacramento and the Wizards were playing poorly. I think the Wizards have lost six in a row or six of eight, something like that. And I know Sacramento's lost 10 of 12. So you caught two teams playing poorly. You caught them at the right time. You played really well. You did what you do best, which is be a front runner. And then you ran into somebody playing basically as well as you on the road. And you, kudos to you. You got back in the game, but you couldn't finish in the fourth quarter, which has been the theme all season long. You are who you are at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. And the common theme, too, is when they lose games like this, it's ISO offense, lack of ball movement, too many turnovers. And the turnover specifically, so they had 16 of them last night. Brown and Tatum, they're responsible for 12 alone, which results in 24 points for Atlanta. And it's like, look, I've gone past the, like, you know, you got to break up the Jays. It's not going to happen. Like, Tatum, Brown, those are your building blocks. For better or worse, that's where you're going to build around. But, like, and I know this has been a bugaboo for you for a while, Chris. You've written about it. You've talked strongly about it here. And I'm with you on this. Like, can we at least move on from Marcus Smart? Like, why do they treat him as you know, this, like he's part of like the quote unquote big three here, which he certainly isn't. He carries himself that way, but they also, they enable him to feel this way.
They do. Now, it's a tough time. Here's what I'm going to say about Smart. He was probably their best player last night. He played really well, and he's done this before. He plays really well. So to me, he's just sort of like, it's not that he's a bad player. It's he's kind of collateral damage of, for whatever reason, the on-court chemistry not clicking. Okay. He's collateral damage because he's the easiest guy to move on from. You're not going to move on from the other two guys. But at the same time, for all the talk about Marcus Smart making winning plays and contributing to winning, how is that possible? How does he have the impact that some of the people around here want to say he has, but his team's been a 500 team for 2 years running? That's doesn't add up. It's not, I mean, for all the numbers the Celtics people like to throw at you, you know, point differential, and this is what it like is like when Smart's on the court, and their record with their starting five is 9-6 now, and all these numbers. I'm going to throw another number at you. Again, over the last 2 years, you're a 500 team. So how much impact on winning does he really have? Because it seems like it's not as much as people want you to believe.
And you sent me this article that was in The Athletic today in that Marcus Smart hears the chatter that he's not a real point guard. And, you know, even when he was back last week, too, what was the quote that he had that annoyed the hell out of me? I know it did to you, too.
Oh, it's us versus everybody. No one believes in us. It's us versus everybody at this point.
Like, aren't you tired of this?
Yes, just... I am tired of it.
Yeah. And so I mean, what's the path now, Chris, with 32 games remaining? I mean, is tanking the answer? But then again, you look at Sacramento and how they beat up on them, and maybe that isn't the solution. It's just they're in this horrible, horrible middling purgatory, which is the worst possible place to be in the NBA.
It is. It is. I mean, to me, the path is, you know, you need a shakeup at this point. And I think Smart is the guy because he has the most trade value and is the most expendable of guys that you can move on from. So that's unfortunate for him. It's, again, I want to be clear, I'm not pinning the whole thing on him. But the reality is, this is the way it works in life sometimes, you know? I mean, yeah, look, I used to work in TV. You know, if you're in TV and you're the number three sports reporter anchor, you're a hell of a lot more expendable than the number one. So that's the way that it goes. And so for Smart, he just has the misfortune of being the most expendable piece with some value. The other thing I'll say is, and we'll get to this article, Jay King did a good job with him in The Athletic, but if Smart's half the point guard he thinks he is, then how come his team lost last night when they had more turnovers, 16, than assists, 15? I mean, that just cannot happen. It can't. You can't win that way. You can't have more turnovers than assists. And the offense consistently bogs down in the fourth quarter. So if Smart's this great point guard that he thinks he is, and he thinks he knows more about playing point guard than Bob Cousy, because Cousy said he's not, you know, really a true point guard, then how come your offense keeps bogging down in the fourth quarter and you have a game in a big game where you have more turnovers than assists?
All right, we'll dive deeper into this article on Marcus Smart in The Athletic today. And you want to pitch about this team, and rightfully so. This is the place to do it at 617-779-0985. Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
1 hour each week at noon on Saturdays. The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
Three, got it.
With Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Yep, we're here today. Through the nor'easter there, kid. Yeah, no, it's a bad one out there. And if you want to join us, talk about the Celtics. This ugly loss last night as they continue to be mired in mediocrity, back at 500, 617-779-0985. You mentioned this article in The Athletic on Marcus Smart posted this morning. What else stood out to you about this, Chris, from Jay King?
Well, how about this one? He's talking about Ime and how tough it is, right, in Boston. And he goes, being in Boston and coaching for Boston, it's not easy, especially for you, first year. So we just have to continue to help him. I've got to continue to help him. I've been here the longest. I know guys more than he does, and I've got to be that quarterback out there for him. Oh,
God. Yeah, the longest tenured Celtic thing, he wears that, and it's been evident. Like he's worn that as a patch of pride for a while now, and I just can't help but wonder. And I've felt this for a while that in terms of Tatum and Brown, not only I'm sure do they look at him with like a side eye and say like you're not on our level in terms of your playing ability, but this thing has to get old for those two as well.
Oh, totally. This longest tenured Celtic thing. It's like, oh my God. You know, it's like he wants like a, you know, each of the presidents, you know, gets like a Secret Service code name. It's like he wants a Secret Service code name for this, for being the longest tenured Celtic. I mean, this is sort of part of the problem, and it's part of the issue where they've really enabled him. And it's just sort of a problem because I'm not sure that, I don't think he does it on purpose, but I'm not sure that Tatum and Brown can fully take ownership of the organization and the team as long as Smart's there and as long as he's saying stuff like this and he feels this way, which is basically like, hey, I've been around the longest. I know the organization the best. I know Boston the best. We go as I go. I think it's kind of hard for those guys to really seize the team with that type of strong personality on it in a role.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. And so, look, there's been these different permutations of trades that have been floated this last week or so, and as of midweek, Marcus Smart is now eligible to be traded. So there's been rumors of Dallas, Minnesota,
for Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, so Atlanta maybe even as well. Is there an ideal trade that Marcus Smart is involved with, in your opinion?
I mean, ideal for the Celtics would be getting a guy that they faced last night, John Collins, who was probably the best player on the court. I mean, he'd be great for them. He's stretch four. I think he's a better defender than he's played like this year. I mean, ask Jason Tatum about his defense. He met him at the rim and blocked a shot. He'd be ideal. I just don't think you can get him for Smart. You know, when the Hawks and Celtics were talking before, based on reports, the deal for Smart was Cam Reddish and Kevin Herter. I would have done that deal if I were the Celtics. Obviously, they elected not to do that deal. I don't know if they can throw something else in for your Hawks. I got it in for your Hawks to be able to make a trade with them and get Collins back. But it seems like Smart alone won't do that. I would make the deal with Dallas for Jalen Brunson and Reggie Bullock. I think Jalen Brunson, I know he's in the last year of his deal, but he's 25. I think he's an ascending point guard. He's averaging 15 points a game, around, you know, 6 assists. I think he might be a better fit. He's certainly not the defender that Smart is, not even close, but he might be a better player, a better fit, I mean, and he might have more upside than Smart. Can I read another Smart quote for you?
Yeah, please.
So he's talking about playing point guard, you know. He says, first, coming out of college, I was a point guard. So it's kind of funny to hear people say I'm not a point guard. In high school, point guard led my team to 2 state championships. It's funny hearing people say I'm not a point guard. So now we're doing the high school thing, which you didn't. That's relevant in the NBA.
He sounds like a caller. It's usually someone that's going to bring up like their Harry high school achievements. Like, yeah, I know what it's all about there, kid. Like, I played point guard, you know, for Middleborough High. Like, all right. Like, no, like that is ridiculous for a guy, you know, a professional basketball player to be referencing something like that from his high school days.
Yeah, it's just a little surprising. I mean, he's always defiant, and it's kind of what makes him good. It's a double-edged sword in that he does take these slights and internalize them, and it motivates him. And you like that, but you don't like it when it veers into a place where he sort of lacks self-awareness about his standing, not only in the NBA, but in the history of the Celtics. Like, he talks like he's Sam Jones, you know?
Mm. All right, Johnny in Brooklyn, you're leading us off here on the Sports Hub Celtics show today. If you want to join us, 617-779-0985. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, what's up, guys? I also played point guard in high school. Thanks for taking my call. You know, just one thing is, like, you know, when the Celtics won those 2 games in a row, I was looking at these media beat writers saying, like, oh, you know, don't make any trades. Let's get under the tax and build for next year. It's just absolutely brutal. I don't want them to lose, but I also just, you see how quickly some of these writers change when they just win a game or two. But, you know, last night, Brown and Tatum combined for 12 of those 16 turnovers. I actually thought Marcus Smart, who I've called about wanting to get him traded since the beginning of my calls to you guys, but I thought yesterday was his best offensive game of the season for them. And yesterday was really more about their lack of depth and their bad drafting over the last few years, because you saw their bench. I think Grant Williams had 0 points. I mean, I'm not going to go through the box score, but it was brutal. So, you know, I think that we can sit here and say, I know last week you wanted to talk about the ownership and the management. They're drafting their draft room, even without Danny, it's not much different. His son is the assistant GM. To me, it's really still the same. We're asking the same room to kind of fix the problems that they were a part of creating. And I said it last week, and I'll say it again. I don't have a whole lot of faith that that's going to happen. But you guys are the best. Take care. Good luck with the snow, and have a good weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. So, again, you know, I know this is, we talked about it last week, and you feel like they're almost skating a bit, but, you know, ownership, management, like how they're the one. Look, everyone's always going to complain about the players first, but they're skating and how they've handled this thing.
Yeah, and I think Johnny nailed it there. I think sometimes it's hard. You know, the first step to fixing a problem is admitting you have a problem. And when you're part of creating the problem, I think it can be difficult for you to come to the conclusion that there is one. And I think that's been a challenge for the Celtics front office. I think they're very much invested in these players. They're very much invested in the path that they've selected, and they want to see it succeed almost to the point of obstinance at this point. And I just feel like, you know, good. You can look at things on paper and you can talk about point differential and these other numbers, and they are relevant. I'm not going to completely dismiss them. But at the end of the day, what do your eyes tell you? What does the record tell you from the last 2 years? Does it tell you that you are on an arc or a path to be a true championship contender or not?
And what I don't get, too, is that, you know, these guys, you should know. Inconsistency, I think, is like a calling card of just immature teams that I've used that the term I've used for a while now, that downward slope now here for like 3 years, especially these last two. Like, why do they think anything is going to change here? Like, you have to switch up this mix. And now, again, like, I'm not expecting them to move Brown or Tatum, and if people want to argue that they should, find, like, I just don't, like, I think that's just you screaming into the void. It's not going to happen. But to hang on to Marcus Smart and treat him the way that they do, like, that he is like one of these cornerstone pieces, is just, it's so asinine to me, Chris.
I think they're, I mean, this is just my gut. It's not based on reporting. I think they're going to hold on to Smart. I think you're going to see tinkering around the edges, you know, maybe moving one of the young guys, or Schroeder, or Richardson. I think you're going to just see some tinkering around the edges. I think, you know, one of their issues for the last couple of years with Danny was overvaluing assets, whether they were players here or draft picks or whatever. I think that's still an issue, to Johnny's point. I think they overvalue Marcus Smart, and I don't think they're going to get back what they think his value is. And so they're probably just going to hold on to him. Can I read another Marcus Smart quote for you?
Please.
From this story? Because, you know, so this is about him playing, you know, point guard and his ability to make people better. I've been doing it ever since I got in the league, making the extra pass, finding guys, making that extra pass to the corner, rewarding guys for running, rewarding guys for a steal that they get, making sure that they get the ball. I've been doing this my whole career, and now people want to talk about I'm doing it more. It's just like, no, I've been doing it. You guys are just finally getting to see more of it, because in years past, I'm not coming off the bench. I'm not playing 20 minutes, and I'm playing the point guard role now. So you get to see more of it, and it's what it is. So, excuse me. And it's what it is. I've always been like that. I've always been that guy, and that's who I am. I'm going to take what the defense gives me. And he goes on to say, so for me, it's just constantly trying to build up the confidence of my guys, regardless of what that means for me. For me, sacrificially. Okay. Dude, okay. I get it.
He suffers from a serious lack of self-awareness. Oh,
what that means for me, sacrificially. So the way he's talking, Jim, it's basically like, I could be an all-star, but I've decided that, you know, I need to be a pass-first point guard who, you know, really runs one of the most efficient offenses in the NBA. I mean, this is delusional. This is like delusional talk.
I'm holding back. You know, I could be better, but I'm holding back for the betterment of the team, which is just ridiculous. Correct. All right, 617-779-0985. We want to talk about the Celtics, this loss, where they should go from here with, what, 32 games remaining. A couple open lines you want to join us. I promise we'll get to your calls next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on the home of the Seas, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's time to talk Celtics.
Man, hotter than fish grease now.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub Celtics Show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, you at 617-779-0985. Before we get to your calls and your thoughts on the Celtics and this ugly loss last night in Atlanta, I want to say goodbye to Tucker Silva, who produced the first half of this show. He was back at the home office in Dorchester. A lot of the folks that are going to be in there today were holed up in a hotel that the station paid for last night so they can get in there and do their jobs diligently. So he is out. We welcome in Tyler Milliken, who is going to be taking your calls at 617-779-0985. You guys are doing God's work there today. But I will say, some of the on-air hosts that were holed up at the hotel last night, like Alex Barth, who you can follow on Twitter, and was putting videos of him walking over to the station, setting a bad precedent. You know, Chris and I are doing the show from home today. Barth, McCone on after us at 2. Guys like, don't put up the videos. They're like, here we are trekking to work. It makes us look bad. That along with Felger jumping on the Zoom call with Bruce Cassidy yesterday. It's like, no, don't break that seal. You guys.
Oh, by the way, can we talk about that just super quick? I know it's the Sports Hub Celtics show, but just quickly, you know how he rips all the reporters for, you know, basically they're being all their, you know, friendly, convivial, like, closings.
Yeah.
Did you hear his like appreciate it, Bruce, at the end?
Yeah, it was the best.
What a fraud.
Yeah. But he broke that seal. You know, how many times do we hear one of you guys don't go on, jump on there and ask him, like, no, we're too busy. Now that he's done that, it's like, oh man, come on. I know Jones felt the same way. He was talking about it last night. All right.
I heard Jones last night.
Yeah, your thoughts on this game last night, 617-779-0985. Let's go to Andrew in Taunton. You're next here in the Sports Hub Celtics show. Hey, Andrew.
Hey guys, how's it going? So I just wanted to touch on a couple things. So I thought that Jaylen Brown's 26 points was so fake last night. I just think, like, with the 7 turnovers and barely shooting 40% from the field, I just thought he was in his hometown trying to out there trying to get his. And I just don't think he plays with basketball IQ sometimes and not within the flow of the offense. He had a brutal turnover late too. They're down 4, trying to cut it to like one or two, like a one possession game. Instead of throwing a bounce pass, he throws a chest pass out. They get a transition 3 with Gallinari and they end up going 9 or 11. I just don't like the way he plays within the offense. I just don't think he has like the right basketball IQ sometimes. And I think maybe it's something he can develop. And my second point is just, I'm so sick of watching Josh Richardson play. I just can't stand this guy. I just want them to trade him and I'll drive him to the airport if need be at this point.
Thanks. All right. So start with the latter comment on Josh Richardson. Like some of these veterans who are getting way too many minutes. And so this is where I feel, and I think you agree, this is where like Ime Udoka, I don't think like he's a big part of the problem, but he is complicit in some of these losses and giving too many minutes to someone like Josh Richardson. Like, get him out of here.
I actually think Josh Richardson has played pretty well this year. I mean, I know he did not play particularly well last night, but he's shooting 40% from 3. And that's something they sort of need, and he's a stabilizing force. I mean, I do think that Ime has not given enough time to the young players, and Richardson certainly is sort of part of that. But, you know, that's sort of the roster that they gave him. In terms of the Jaylen Brown point, you know, I don't know if I'd call it fraudulent, but I agreed with pretty much everything else he said in terms of, you know, you look at it, it's 26 points. But when you have 7 turnovers, that basically overrides the 26 points. That was really, really damaging. And one of the issues for the Celtics, and John Hollinger talked about this in another piece with Jay King of The Athletic, just because those Marcus Smart quotes I'm reading during the Sports Hub Celtics show, if you're wondering where they came from, it's a great story that Jay King has in The Athletic today. I want to give Jay full credit. But Jay had another story with John Hollinger, former executive of the Memphis Grizzlies, basically saying, like, this team needs a point guard. They're trying to put the ball in the hands of Brown and Tatum too much, and those guys aren't really ready to be initiators, decision makers, distributors. And I think this is the byproduct of that. You see a game like last night where they combined for 12 turnovers.
Yeah, and so seven alone from Brown. You know what he looked like? He looked like young Jaylen Brown last night. You know, like I think one of his flaws early was like a bad handle, you know, Chris, or like, you know, forced pass, wild shot. Like that had gone away. Like that's kind of how he looked last night. And maybe that's the, hey, we're in Atlanta thing. Like that did kind of have a whiff of that, you know?
No, you're right. I mean, you want to show out in your hometown and, you know, you got people that you know, in the stands repping you, and you want to play well. But it's not like it's the first time he's played in Atlanta.
Oh, no, I meant in the way of like, hey, we went out the night before.
Oh, so you meant like Atlanta.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
You meant like, you know, lemon pepper wings, Atlanta.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. A night. Gotcha. At a night at Magic City, Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. I gotcha. Okay. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's from there. It's not like he's never been to Magic City. I mean, I don't know. It's possible. I'm not ruling it out. Honestly, but I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, this is fun to speculate on. I just think they ran into a team that is, you know, pretty equal to them talent-wise. The Hawks have had a very disappointing season. To me, they're the most disappointing team in the NBA, coming off an Eastern Conference Finals appearance. Even with the win last night, they're two games under 500, but they've won six straight. They're starting to turn things around. They're playing well. The Celtics were playing well. Celtics had this down to a one-point game, and then they folded like they have so many times in the fourth quarter. So I think, you know, this was more about the Celtics revealing themselves as who they really are this season, unfortunately, versus maybe what they were doing in terms of extracurriculars.
Andrew in Taunton on last night's game. You're next here in the Sports Hub Celtics show with Jim Murray and Chris Gasper. Hey, Andrew.
He just dropped off.
Oh, okay. Can we go to Chris in Everett then, Tyler? Hey, Chris.
Hello.
Hey, what's up? Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to talk about you guys. All of you guys kill me because Tatum had a great night the other night, but who the hell was he playing against? And Tatum holds the ball too much. He's starting to drive to the basket lately, but before he would never do that. And if you see why they give up these so many points in the fourth quarter, my eyes see that the full starting five never ends the game when they begin the game. And they got two or three different guys out there with Tatum or Brown, and they're looking for those guys to make all the big shots and everything from 3 points. And they got a bunch of guys that know how to drive to the basket and lay it up, and you guys say smart. Geez, I see Smart throw the ball all over the place to the guys, feeding the guys all over the place and driving and stealing the ball. He's the only guy that can defend anybody. That's why they put him on the good players, is because he defends them, steals the ball. And you guys want to get rid of him. Build around him. I think get rid of Tatum and keep Brown.
Oh, man. Brown. All right, Chris, we're going to let you go on that.
Oh, my God. That might be the worst call we've ever fielded on the Sports Hub Celtics show. Well, get rid of Tatum and build around Smart. This is the problem. This is why Smart feels the way he feels. The constant, insistent, incessant fetishization of Marcus Smart is a problem for Celtics Nation. It is. Well, he is a very, very good role player. But for anybody to call up and say they should trade Tatum and build the team around Marcus Smart is asinine with a capital A.
Yeah, well, he's a gritty player. That's how I used to play when I was in high school. Like, that kind of reeked of that. But what he started with, though, you know, the big 50-point game for Tatum on last Sunday against Washington. Didn't this feel like another one of those games that it just, like, that felt a little bit hollow, or that he was, you know, hey, there's Bradley Beal trying to show off a little bit. I just feel like there's been too many of those type of games from Tatum. So, like, when people were, and look, that was, I don't know how many people, you know, just in terms of your generic NBA or Celtics fan were paying attention that day because you're going up against those divisional games. But I don't know. Like, I felt like that was a little bit overrated for those that were crowing about it.
Really? I didn't. I thought it was a great game. I mean, I thought the way they played individually, like, you know, Tatum, the way he played, I'm not going to discount the way he played in the prior two games. You know, my discounting was basically saying the team acting after winning two games in a row against two teams that were not playing their best basketball at this point in the season, like, we figured it out. I'm discounting that, but not the individual performance. I mean, to me, that showed something, what Tatum did against Washington, especially when you're 0 for 20, 0 for your last 20 on three pointers, and you come out and knock down nine. I was definitely impressed and encouraged by that. Now, it was frustrating last night to see him start 3 of 13 and finish 5 of 17 and 2 of 8 from 3. I don't know why he's been so inconsistent this year offensively. I mean, I think shooting percentages across the league have been a little inconsistent. My theory, and I'm not making an excuse for Tatum, but you know, my theory is they switched to this new Wilson basketball this year. And you're seeing guys that normally have shot pretty good percentages, particularly from threes. There are some guys that are shooting much lower than they've shot in the past. I don't know if that's trying to adjust to the new ball or the feel or whatever it is, but I'm not going to discount the performances Tatum had against the Wizards and the Kings, but I am going to discount, you know, Celtics fans and the team in the front office snapping their fingers and saying, oh, here it is. We figured it out. We're going to go on a run now. We're going to go on a roll. I mean, you're not, Jim, we're not really that far removed from their collapse against Portland at home.
Yeah, no, I know. No. And I also, you know, so this is the conspiracy theorist to me, too. I just, if you look at the numbers since it was announced that Durant is going to miss, you know, more than a month, up to 6 weeks in the All-Star game, obviously, and that Tatum is going to be the one that's going to likely replace him. His scoring numbers are up. I mean, in the seven games before he was ruled out, he was at just under 25 points per game averaging. Now he's at like 30.6. I think it's like, oh, now it's my time to shine. It's one of those kind of things.
Maybe, but I would also say, and I said this earlier in the year, this is kind of the time of year he seems to kick it in gear every season for whatever reason. You know, again, it's frustrating. I feel like he never builds upon where he left off the season before. But this is the time of year he starts to put it all together and we start to have these wow Jason Tatum games. You know, it's normally mid-January and then he just sort of goes from there. So it could be related to the Durant thing, but I also feel like this was basically when you would start to see Jason Tatum really round into his best form.
All right, 617-779-0985. One more segment to go in the Sports Hub Celtics show. We'll get through more of your calls coming up next and quickly touch on their next opponent, the New Orleans Pelicans, and how they are missing their superstar, who is seemingly doing his best to eat himself out of the league. That's coming up next here on 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub Celtics Show drives the lane.
Foul. Scored and the foul.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show and Boston's home for the Celtics. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub Celtics Show, final segment here this Saturday. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Couple open lines you want to join us to talk about last night's loss and the team overall at 617-779-0985. They're right back at it tonight, are the Celtics, coming off this loss last night, 108-92 to the Hawks. They are in New Orleans to take on the Pelicans with tip off at 7. You can catch it here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, starting at 6:30. So the Pelicans obviously will be without Zion Williamson. And this is a guy who, you know, I think like a lot of people, Chris, was going to completely take over the league, and it looked like he was early, or at least going to be one of the, you know, great young superstars in the league. But he's rehabbing his injured foot, posted on his Instagram story within the last 24 hours or so, just, you know, a photo of him in action on the floor in New Orleans. Maybe he could be back sooner than later, but, and he hasn't posted on Instagram in like 6 months, so maybe it means something. But overall, doesn't this feel like just like one of the great disappointments in the league? Like, I know, look, there's nothing you can do sometimes about injuries, but it feels like put it to you this way, if you're New Orleans, do you now look at this and say, oh God, we drafted the wrong guy. We should have taken John Morant.
Ooh, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, I think you do. I mean, look at the season Ja's having. His team's playing 600 basketball in the West.
He's a stud.
They're starter.
Yeah, you were tweeting about this, I think, in the last week or so. Like, they're ahead of schedule where they thought they would be.
Oh, yeah, definitely they're ahead of schedule. I mean, the Desmond Bane pick has helped them there. Now Jaren Jackson's playing well. They're sort of the antithesis of the Celtics in terms of they've hit on basically all their draft picks. Like, even guys you're like, oh, you know, D'Anthony Melton, whenever they need to use him, like, dust him off the bench, he plays pretty well. So they're the opposite of the Celtics in that regard. And I still remember, because it's rare, because I'm wrong far more often than I'm right, but I still remember the night of the draft lottery when Memphis moved up to number two, basically saying like, oh, this is bad. Like, this was a bad draft lottery for the Celtics, and people being like, what do you mean? Like, the Knicks aren't going to get Zion. Like, what are you talking about? This is, oh, and I'm like, well, Memphis got number two. That could affect your pick. It's like, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, look at it now. I mean, you know, Memphis is ahead of you right now in terms of trying to compete for a championship.
But Zion himself, I mean, it's starting to feel Greg Oden-y, isn't it? Like, it just feels like it's going to be one thing after another with this guy.
When he plays, he's really good. I mean, you know, he's a fantastic passer, great rebounder, unique talent, needs to work on the outside shot. That's not where it needs to be. But the question, I think, from day one with Zion Williamson was, the way he's built, you know, will his joints, will his ligaments hold up? How long can they support that? And right now, I would say it's not off to a good start. You know, maybe he needs to get on the TB12 method, Jim.
Yeah, and a tough city to play in. And that was a very kind way of you saying that this, you know, maybe he should try to slim down and not pound food.
When are you going to start calling him the fat kid from Duke?
Yeah, I can start if you'd like, you know, but these are increasingly sensitive times. So maybe if I started doing that, I'd end up losing the job. And I don't want to lose this cushy gig, Chris. But
okay, let me help you. You can call him the corpulent young man from Duke.
All right. So that sounds much more kind. But I will say, you know, having been there, I know you've been too, there is no more difficult place to be in this fine country than New Orleans if you are trying to stay slim. That the best cuisine in America. Everything is so rich. You can hear and feel your arteries hardening. So I'm sure it's difficult for him, especially when you're on the couch trying to rehab. Oh, more crawfish etouffee? Sure, I'll have that.
All right, more beignets?
Yeah, oh, so good.
By the way, just quickly before you go to the calls, quickly. I've heard New Orleans is the city to be in when it's cold and rainy.
Oh, yes, that's a nice shot, Chris. Yeah, the wife and I taking a vacation there, raining sideways for the whole week. Was not great, but we did eat like kings. CJ and Marlboro on Marcus Smart. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hey, CJ.
Yeah, I don't know who messed up at the Celtics, but you have such a young core. I mean, with Williams, Smart, Tatum, Brown, why would you want to get rid of that considering how well they've been playing and how young they are? The only thing I can think of is if he's having, chemistry problems in the locker room or something like that, where you'd be looking out for his health and well-being, you know, and want to move that. But other than that, I don't know if you gave Brad Stevens the promotion. I really don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but it seems they're so young and so talented, I don't know why you would want to move them.
All right, CJ, I'm going to let you go on that. It does sound like you don't know what's going on when you say they're playing so well. It's been 2 years of being mired in mediocrity, so not really sure if you really have been paying attention. Well, we'll just move on from that. Let's go to, I mean, come on. Mike in Malden, you're next up here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
Murray, my favorite part of a Nor'easter is the I don't have to feel bad about sitting inside and smoking record amounts of weed during the day. So, hey, real quickly, I just want to ask, if you had an opportunity to have either Jason Tatum or LaMelo Ball today, who would you choose? And me asking that question, does that say more about Tatum or more about Ball?
Oh, that's a great question. I think it says more about Tatum because I think that the ceiling is higher for him in terms of his talent. He's certainly a better scorer. LaMelo Ball's kind of been a revelation. That Hornets team, they're fun to watch, Chris.
Absolutely. With my guy Miles Bridges on that team, yeah, they're fun. I mean, it's funny. You know, Gordon Hayward went there because he wanted a bigger role, and it's like he's been marginalized by young guys again. It's Miles Bridges and LaMelo Ball, and then, you know, Terry Rozier did his thing when he came back to the Garden. They have P.J. Washington. They're a fun team to watch, like you said. And even, this is for the hardcore hoop heads, but they drafted the kid, James Bouknight, out of UConn as a point guard. He doesn't play very much, but when he plays pretty well. So they have a lot of assets there. I'm going to go with LaMelo Ball only because I am partial. So much like Marcus Smart, I played point guard early in my basketball career. I'll say, you know, I was a middle school point guard. And so I'm always partial to the guys that can make the guys around them better. And I don't know if Tatum can do that yet. He's made some strides as a passer, but LaMelo Ball is a fantastic, fantastic passer. And his scoring keeps getting better, and he also just seems to have a knack. Remember when they played the Celtics and he knocked down that huge three? He just seems to have a knack for the moment right now.
So to what he asked, though, who's that say more about? Is that more about LaMelo Ball or is that more about Jason Tatum?
I think it says more about LaMelo Ball and the type of talent he is. You know, look, remember how much people have sort of dogged the Ball family because of LeVar, and LaMelo Ball took an unusual path to the NBA. He went and played in Australia, and there were questions about him, and you know, people thought he was just kind of like a sideshow, showboat player. I think it says more about LaMelo Ball than it says about Jason Tatum.
We have Chris in Everett next up here in the Sports Hub Celtic Show on line three. Chris?
Okay, so there was two Chris's in Everett. I was going to say, I thought the call screener got him mixed up because I was going to say, that's not my take. Marcus Smart is not my guy. Build around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. So what I was calling about is I kind of think that the Celtics need to start playing the young guys more and, you know, get away from, I think Brad needs to trade Dennis Schroeder. Like, I don't understand why Peyton Pritchard's not playing more. And I don't know if you guys knew this stat, but if the Celtics shoot, I think, average at three-point range or higher, they're like 20-5 or 20-9. And if they shoot below that, they are like, I think it's like 10-17 or something to that effect. And
I did see that stat.
Gasper, and also for Gasper, one other thing. I know you've got your list of guys that you want to trade for, your Malik Beasleys and whatnot. I'm on the train again this year, but Josh Hart, that's my guy. I want him on the Celtics.
Love it.
I don't know what it would take to get from the Pelicans, but that's the guy I want the Celtics to go after.
Thanks, Love it. Chris. Nope, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm in agreement on Josh Hart. I'd love to see that guy on this team. I think he's, you know, sort of a similar player to Marcus Smart, really. I think, and Celtics fans would embrace him in that way. And I think there's a little more offensive upside there with Smart. To go back to like the other caller was saying, you know, oh, the team's so young. The guy you said didn't know what was going on, Jim. Do you know Marcus Smart's going to be 28 in March?
Yeah.
Like, he's not as young as you think. Not that 28's old, but by NBA standards, like, by the time you're 28, you pretty much are who you are. Like,
yeah, you're like a
journeyman
at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're 20. There's not a lot of guys who get to 28 and then suddenly make a leap and become a completely different player. I guess that's my only point on that.
Shane in New York. You'll be the final call here in the Sports Hub Celtic Show this afternoon. Go ahead, Shane.
Hey, so listen, my thing was I'm all set with this team as it's currently made up. So totally good with that. What I was thinking, I saw Harden was looking to make a move after the season. And I was never a Harden guy, but I think that just the way he came into the Brooklyn situation, he was actually able to come in and be a facilitator and actually be able to move the ball effectively. So I think we make the move to make the space we need to get him in there. If that's moving Brown, try to retain Tatum or Brown, you know, out of that. But I'd like to see Harden come in, I think.
All right, thanks for the call on that. Look, there was a time, you know, before he went to the Nets, I was vehemently against that. Now I would do it for a few reasons, Chris, just for the entertainment standpoint, the content standpoint for Felgren Maz, this very show, all of that. You know, I would like something just to shake up the mix. If I'm James Harden, I couldn't think of a place I would less want to be than here. That is a man that loves the nightlife. And I know, look, the seaport, very vibrant. But it's a guy who likes the strip clubs as well. And this is not the place for that. So I could never see that happening.
Well, I mean, could he get a car service to Providence? What is your, you know, back in your single days, what was your rating of the Providence establishments?
They're fine. I mean, they're still, look, they're, it's, if you're James Harden, this isn't the spot. I mean, they were putting up, didn't they put like retire his jersey at one of the places in Houston?
Did they really? I didn't know that. Did that really happen?
Oh, yeah. No, that's out there. There was one of those bigger establishments when he was playing with the Rockets that he went to so many times and spent so much money there. They like put up his jersey and retired his number.
That is insane. You know, that's kind of like they retired. This is not a strip club. I just want to be clear. But that's kind of like they retired Burt Breer's number at Sail Loft.
Oh, really?
In the North. Yes. Yes. He used to. Burt Breer at Sail Loft, running the 2-minute drill as the lights came on, Elway-esque in his prime. And I'm talking about Burt's prime, not Elway's prime. Really impressive stuff.
Now, a married man with kids. If Burt's listening, I'm sure he's like, Chris, no. Pray call. No.
Yeah. And by the way, can you just be honest, Jim? Like, you were very wishy-washy on the Providence establishments, and I could hear it in your voice, but you didn't want to say it. You wanted to say, it's still girls from New England.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's that's part of that, too. So, yeah, we'll just leave it at that. Let's get into the final hour of the show, shall we, as we are working so hard here from home, broadcasting from home, thanks to Modern Tech.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.